Sean Dustin spent time in federal and state prison for drug trafficking and fraud. Upon release in 2006, he had nothing but the clothes on his back, a bag of mail, and legal paperwork. In 2010, he kicked a longtime methamphetamine habit and started the long climb back up the ladder of life. This is the Nowhere to Go But Up podcast. If you want transparency and authenticity, you're in the right place. This is the Nowhere to Go But Up podcast, and this is Sean Dustin.
Hey, what's up? This is the Nowhere to Go But Up podcast, and I am your host, Sean Dustin. If it's your first time listening, welcome. If you're returning, welcome back. It's good to have you with us this afternoon. If you are in the Pacific time, if not, then it's evening for you in the Eastern time. Either way, it's great to have you with us today. I got some special guests. I got a special show lined up for you that I've been trying to put together for some time now, and it finally made its way to where it needs to be, and here we are. If you're watching on YouTube, do me a favor, hit that subscribe button in the corner, thumbs this video up. If you're on Facebook, please share it. Share this wide and far. The algorithm is not friends with us unless we are paying for that promotion. Anywhere else, just share it. Let people know where you are or where we are and what we're doing. So that's about it for that. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time because we don't have a whole lot of time. We've got about an hour to get things going here. I've got Adam from Deborah Gets Red Pilled podcast here. We've got Truthzilla, Ed and Scott from the Truthzilla podcast. We've also got Deborah. Hey, Deborah in the house, the other part of the Adam Gets Red Pilled. And then we've got Sam Tripoli. How's it going, brother, from the Tinfoil Hat podcast? What's up, everyone? Sam, you're muted.
Good.
What's up, Sean, dude?
Thanks for having me on, dude. Super excited. Been looking forward to this. Honored to meet the legendary Deborah. Crossed it off the bucket list.
Done. Yep. Done. Man, that's a sad bucket list.
I'm a sad man.
So the reason why I put all this together is that we all kind of got to know each other through the union of the unwanted.
But
it goes back further than that, because at least for myself, Conspiracy Farm was on Joe Rogan. I listened to Joe Rogan for a long time. The Conspiracy Farm talked about Sam Tripoli, Tinfoil Hat, or I found you through there. And I think everybody kind of did it the same way or close to. So, I mean, the Tinfoil Hat was literally where we all kind of got to know where the union of the unwanted was. So, Sam, you're the reason why we're all here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you very much, man. I'm very thankful that you guys, are showing me kindness and all that stuff. Just hear me out. I hear this a lot, and it means a lot to me. But really, what I'm very thankful is that you all took what you heard and allowed it to affect you, and then you guys took action. And you started all these great shows, and you pushed what you wanted to do out there, and that means a lot to me. You were open-minded to the information that was out there, and you took charge of your life, and it's pretty sweet.
Awesome, man. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate those words. Everybody,
I do have to say, though, that this is my first meeting with Sam, and it was actually my son-in-law, Adam, who pulled me into this crazy world. And so I have to give thanks and gratitude to Adam.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes a lot to say.
Adam, are you happy that Adam did that? Are you a little angry? are you happy you took the red pill, or would you rather go back to the blue pill?
Depends on the day.
I respect that.
Yeah. Well, it was like what Oh, sorry. I was just gonna say, like, well, what Sam was saying, like, just grateful that we were all open-minded to it. I'd say no one else has been more open-minded than Deborah, man. Like, just being willing to get in the ring with this type of information and just do spiritual battle with it. Like, it's not easy. Like, even those of us that are, you know, we're pretty red pill getting into it, and as our journey progresses, it can be painful at times. Like, it's very dark, painful, man. At times. It gets real dark. Yeah. And there's days where I just want to be like, God, I can't even do this today. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I certainly say it would be just easier to be blue pilled. Life would be easier, simpler.
So kudos to you, Deborah.
We got some dark shows coming up too, Deborah. So get ready.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, we got Philip Fairbanks coming on, who wrote the Pedigate Primer.
Ooh.
Yeah. Can't wait for that one. We got vaccine stuff coming up. It's going to be awesome.
Man, the key is, what are we doing? What's the purpose of what we do?
Yep.
And the purpose of what we do is to spread, get the word out. But at some point, you have to understand the truth is that's probably the best you could do at this moment, right? Yeah. Is like, if you get there, just I have to right all the wrongs, and you're going to go nuts.
Yeah,
and if you live and die by these victories, you're going to lose your happiness and the gleam in your eye, because you're going to be internalizing it. Something that I've gotten to come to grips with is, like, you can't stop pain and suffering, because this realm is about pain and suffering. We are here to learn lessons of life. And some of those are hard lessons and rough lessons and painful lessons, but that's what you're here for. So when you're super angry and you're super sad or you're super depressed, just know that is the purpose of this place. And you cannot legislate that away, and you cannot fully stop it, because that is not the purpose of what we're here to do, which is to learn about the universe and the universal laws, which is love and help others.
Yes.
Yep.
Well said.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's the key to everything. And, you know, in order to do that, you have to be able to unplug from the most common denominator of what causes that fear and that anxiety and all of the things that causes the division. And that's mainstream media. Mm-hmm. The minute you unplug from there, your life becomes a little bit more manageable. Your trauma subsides, right? Because every time you turn that thing on, it's just like bam, 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 bam. And you're getting bombarded with you know, whatever it is you want to call it. You want to call it lies. You want to call it, gaslighting. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's the key, I think, is once you can do that and separate yourself from the mainstream media and start finding alternative sources like these shows here, and the people that they follow and the people that I follow, that's where the beginning should start. And then once you can get there, then you know, it's all whatever you want to call it, good to go from there.
Yeah,
no blue sky.
Absolutely,
man. For me, I recently, recently I woke up in the morning and I literally woke up. My first thought was, I need to get off Twitter, right? So I got up, I'm like, I'm going to get off Twitter. And I go to Twitter and I found out Twitter got me off already. I was, already censored, and I'd already been, suspended from Twitter. And to be honest with you, man, it's probably been the best thing ever. I do miss kind of, being able to promote whatever live shows I'm doing, or to promote whatever podcast I just put out. But outside of that, I don't miss it, man. And I got a lot of people telling me, Twitter's not as fun without you. And I appreciate that, but it was taking a toll on my soul. Yeah. And, I was battling all these windmills, man. I was just fighting windmills, thinking I was going to win. And I wasn't going to win anything. I was battling blue checkmark people who weren't even real, and kind of the right, the wrongs. And it's just stealing my loosh, man. So I do miss being able to promote, but that's it. I'm not going back to Twitter. I'm like that on Facebook. I just show up. Like, I put I put all the links to this on my Facebook. I'm done. I'm not going to go in there into that cesspool and fight with everybody. I just don't care. And it's just like, I'd rather be friends with my people that I disagree with. I'm really not into, like, oh, you see it this way. Well, we can't be friends. I'm not just here to talk to people I agree with. I want to hear from everybody, and we could just agree to not agree. And I think that's very important.
Yeah. What did they get you on, Sam? Like, what was the tweet they got you on?
Well, it could be me talking about how Chelsea Handler had referred to Lonnie Love's relatives by holding up a picture of a gorilla. That could have got me in trouble, which is a true story.
Deborah loves Chelsea Handler.
I used to watch her religiously.
Yeah, I know.
And I even sorry, guys.
There's a lot of witnesses to that. And then, or it could be me, you know, calling out some people. But here's something else I've learned. And I'm just, that Chelsea Handler dig is the last time I'm going after people. I'm like, why am I doing that too? It's just, I'm kind of, that kind of slipped out just because, you know, I'm used to going after hecklers. So I like curb stomping people. But I just realized that that's a waste of time too. It's just, I'm trying to get out of wasting my loosh. So I would go after people for saying crazy stuff, and I kind of realized it's just as my profile has blessingly gotten bigger, I'm opening myself up to bigger targets that are just unnecessary. So I should just stay in the light and keep the positivity going and stop trying to be a social media vigilante. Right, and being try to be the Punisher on Twitter because it doesn't lead to anything.
Yeah, unfortunately, when you're the person that reacts or you react to the gaslighting, you're usually the one that ends up in the bad light. And yep. You know, the reactor always ends up getting in more trouble than the person that's, you know, starting all of it. So I've had to learn that lesson myself too. And it's a hard one sometimes, and it hurts sometimes, and it's not fun sometimes, but what's on the other side of that is a whole lot better of a life. That's for sure.
Hey, well, Sean, have you gotten any trouble on YouTube yet?
No, but I'm getting, so I found out some information because I've been hanging out on Clubhouse quite a bit. And there's a lot of people on there that know a lot of information about, you know, YouTube and the algorithms and everything else. And what happens is it like my content, because it talks a lot about, you know, stuff that's, you know, trauma laden, heavy trauma stuff, you know, things that could be triggering to folks, even though I do put trigger warnings. And I also have calls to action with, you know, national hotline numbers for people that, you know, if they're triggered, here's a resource that you can go to. They're burying me in the algorithm. So things that should be getting a lot of traction have very little views on them. Yeah. And it's like, and I start thinking, well, shit, maybe it's because my content sucks. Maybe let me start there. Right. And, but everybody's telling me, no, man, you got good content. Everything's mm-hmm. great. And so I just chop it up to that. And so I don't really even care about YouTube, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I'm getting a website now and I'm putting everything, you know, through there and just going to try and, you know, drive everybody to the website and try things that way, you know, starting to do a blog post for SEO purposes to get people to, you know, go to the page. So, I mean, it's, I thought I knew a lot having done this for 2 years already and having the amount of content that I do. But when I went over to Clubhouse, I realized soon, really quickly, that it's like, dude, I don't know shit. There's this whole bunch of things that I'm not doing that I should be doing. And it's like, I felt like a beginner all over again.
Well, now Clubhouse also has problems. Supposedly there was some like discussion about race. And somebody was like, oh, you're not adding, you don't have any black people. So they let a African-American into the show. And then that person started blocking all the white people in the chat, kicking them out of the chat. And it's just like, I'm just done chasing apps.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just done. So my whole thing is that, you know, it's like, I knew once I started getting am I getting an echo to you guys? You guys hear echo?
Yeah, you got echo.
Little bit.
Man, let me figure this out. Hold on.
So the Resistance Chronicle, if you see down here, says, hey, everyone, this is great. Adam, we're all waiting on the Deb head shirts.
Yeah, that's our buddy Chef Matt. That guy's awesome.
Yeah. So what's up, brother?
Shout out Resistance Chronicle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys out there are watching, we got six watching right now. Feel free to add a comment, question, anything you want. You know, unless it's something rude, and then I won't put it up.
You should put up the rude ones too.
Though. Yeah, you want to put up the rude ones too? All right.
Adam, you're getting in the t-shirt game?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
Dude, why not?
Dude, it's great. It's fun. We got some on our website we just put up that we're just like, God, because we're going through Teespring. Like, we're trying to find someone like maybe local that we could do, but Teespring is just like a print on demand service. We're like, God, when they see these shirts, man, they're going to freaking lose their mind.
We'll see.
Yeah.
A thousand true fans. That's what you guys should work on. 1,000 true fans.
Yeah. I'm working on the Greg Carlwood model. 1,000 fans to give me $100.
Yeah. There's actually a book called 1,000 True Fans, and that's the key, man. I got to figure this out.
Yeah. Ever since we started this journey, we've had like a core group of people, you know, that have just been like super. Oh man, just super supportive and just, you know, like, you know, for lack of better words, man, like we consider them family, man. Like they really are. Like a lot of them are local here, and we've, you know, one of the biggest parts about our journey, Adam, you're the one that actually introduced us into Freedom Cells. Like that's just been a huge part of our thing here, like taking all this stuff and moving it into the real world and just meeting with people, you know. And like we had a situation fairly recently where a listener just happened to stumble across our podcast, and they realized that they lived in Eugene too, the same town we're in. And they're like, oh my God, and they reached out to us. I'm like, and they were so excited, and they were like, well, I'll tell you what, we got a Freedom Cells meetup this weekend. And so they were able to come out and hang out and meet everybody. Dude, it was so much fun. Like, that stuff is like, that's gold, so precious these days. And who would have thought that's something that we had taken for granted? You know, just to be sitting in a room without a mask with 20, 30 people, dude, it's so insane. Eating food, and so the Freedom Cell thing.
It must have been a network for us outside of the podcast, but also we've gotten tons of interviews out of Freedom Cells, also of just people that aren't maybe big in the podcast world, because all of us can end up getting a lot of the same interviews, right? But like these people that are local and have some experience about like what they're doing to combat the what's going on, you know, or we had one that worked at a hospital, was a medical coder, you know, we both had Mackenzie, you know, who's amazing. Met a lot of great people.
That's crazy too, because it's like, you know, I've just come to find out that when I go to these meetings of like freedom minded, like people that are just like, they're full of life and they're full of like, just beaming with all this positive energy. They're such miraculous, amazing people, man. And it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm being judgmental, but like, I don't really see that. I just see like darkness on the other side, man. That's it. It's crazy.
Anger.
Yeah. Anger, darkness, you know, it's crazy. I don't know.
But I mean everybody's right. It is, and it's hard to navigate, especially when you want to be yourself, but you know, sometimes your views are going to get you put in certain places. You know, so I mean the self-censorship is real.
I mean, speaking of like the social media, I mean, like it's been kind of a blessing to have you know, our podcast account, because I can use that to say things that my personal accounts are just completely clean, and I don't really use them anymore because my job found out what I'm saying, what I'm doing. I mean, I would lose my job, right? Like that would just happen for sure. So, I mean, it already happened to
one job over this shit.
So, there is self-censorship. Yep. It sucks, but it's real, man. You have to watch what you say.
Yep. That's why we have Rockfin Premium.
What's that?
Yeah, dude. So I'll tell you the story. It's funny. So it's been enough time. So I work in like kind of the, what do you want to say? Like mental health type field. You know what I mean? And like editing the podcast one night, and I sent an email to myself of our Oregon State Governor Kate Brown with a Hitler mustache. And I needed to get that image from my phone to my computer. And so I just emailed it, and I didn't realize I'd use my work account. So anyway, I got called to the office, and apparently they had intercepted an email of me emailing a picture of Kate Brown with a Hitler mustache. And see you later. It was crazy.
What would have happened if you would have sent a picture of Michael Jordan with the Hitler mustache?
Yeah,
Would you have gotten fired for that?
Well, probably not. Or if I would have sent Donald Trump with a Hitler mustache, I would have been freaking.
You would have got a promotion for sure. Especially, Eugene, Oregon. I mean, yeah. I know a lot of the country is like this, but we are definitely a hub of, you know, left wing.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. 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 That's the thing about the whole like comparisons to like all these people are getting upset and throwing a fit about people comparing COVID-19 vaccine or the vaccine passports to Nazi Germany and stuff. And they're saying like, how dare you, you know, it's taking the importance away from what really happened. But where were all those people when everybody was calling Donald Trump a Nazi? You know, they were the ones doing it.
Totally.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling that this passport thing, I mean, I don't know how deep we want to get into COVID here, but like this whole passport thing, man.
Let me say something real quick.
Yeah.
This is all Nazi shit. Okay. Yeah. If you listen, I did an episode with a guy named Dr. True Op.
That was a rad episode, Sam. You should tell Deborah about the guy who got the vaccine and how he ate the other dude's face.
What?
Well, Deborah, basically there's a theory that the Nazis...
Deborah's fully shot up. She got both her shots.
I know a lot. I know some people who are conspiracy theorists that got it. They just, because I got to work. You know, it's like, okay, man, I you know, it just is what it is. And we'll see what happens. And I hope it all works out. And I hope those guys, for as smart as they think they are idiots. And many times their plans don't work like they think. So I hope.
So tell me about this guy that was on your show.
So the Nazis never lost the war. Germany lost the war. The Nazis won. And that's, you know, they make us think that we all went, we drafted them. No, they came over here and they took over. So this Admiral Byrd was sent to
Antarctica.
To find out what was going on up there, and what he encountered was aliens, basically aliens working with the Nazis, and what they called that area, it was called Schwabland, and it was basically this what's his name? Schwab. What's Schwab? Klaus Schwab's father.
Schwabenland. Yeah.
Schwabenland, and it was basically Klaus Schwab's father. And they basically told him, listen, we don't want to kill you guys, but we will. And then they went back to Eisenhower and told him what they found. And basically Eisenhower was like, we're fucked, man. Like, we can't stop anything. And that's why all these Nazis came and came part of the United States government. So when people say passports, stop comparing it to Nazis, it is 100% a Nazi idea.
Yeah.
Show me your papers. That's exactly what it is.
Not to mention the fact that you got IBM, who is directly involved in this. Like, you familiar with IBM and their involvement in the Holocaust?
100%. The only thing that's bullshit is that Bill Gates is like he's just the face they put out for sacrifice. Totally. He'll be the guy that will be taken down, and they'll probably fake his death at some point, and he'll be sent to Schwabenland or whatever it is. But the real people behind it are like Schwab and like most likely the Rockefellers are the real people behind it. Not Bill Gates. He's just an actor. I mean, he's worth a lot of money, but they're pushing him out saying all this incredibly stupid stuff to get people mad at him. So nobody looks at the fact that the Rockefellers have been funding all this.
Totally. One of the great things that I came across was Everything's a Rich Man's Trick.
Oh yeah,
that's a great documentary that really kind of, you know, shows the up is what's up is down, what's left is right, and our reality is inverted. Because most of the time, when we start to think that we know what game we're playing and the rules that we're playing by, the game changes or the rules change. You know, but either way, none of it is ever on point. So you can never win a game when you don't know what the rules are, right? And it's crazy, and a lot of people just don't understand, especially with the vaccine. I mean, look, dude, that there's a reason why it used to take 10 to 15 years, because these human trials needed to take place, and you needed to be able to see what the effects were 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. All the people that are taking the vaccine right now, you are the trial.
If you listen to Gaddafi, he talked about how they would they're going to push this virus, and that they're going to say they just came up with the vaccine. They've been working on this forever. You know, they're just acting like, oh, we just worked on this real quick. You know, my only thing I have to say to this is like, Does anyone really believe the pharmaceutical company's going to give away something for free? That they're going to just give it to you? I mean, this is the same. This is the same organizations that cranked up the price by, you know, like 400% on EpiPens, you know, on your insulin. You know, these are cutthroat scumbags, man. And now they're like, yeah, have this for free because we care. That's all I'm saying. Both my parents got it. All my family got it. Yeah. Nobody listens to me. If you're in my family and you have a vagina, you think I'm a crazy person, okay? Nobody listens to me.
But you know what's even funnier than that, Sam, is we could do is actually you can invert it on them by saying like all these vaccines were paid for from Operation Warp Speed, right? So it was all that money that they paid up front for the development of all these vaccines. So they bought it whether or not they knew that the vaccines were going to work or not. So technically, all these vaccines you guys are all getting were paid for by Uncle Donald. So there you go. Well,
you did get the Alex Trump Jones vaccine.
They set Trump up.
Yeah.
Because supposedly, Deborah, you might want to go earmuffs on this. but we're going to see the effects of this around 2025, 2026.
Yeah.
And it's going to be not good. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to scare Deborah, but.
Yeah. I'm already scared.
Is they're going to blame it on Donald Trump this was the plan the whole time.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, let me ask. I got to ask Deborah a question. So since this has all happened, since everybody starts getting vaccinated on our show, we haven't had a guest yet that's been like, "Oh, I'm vaccinated. I'm super into it." Do you think we're the crazy ones for thinking that there might be something nefarious or weird behind it, or that?
No, I respect everybody's.
I don't care about respect, but I don't. I think are stupid, but
I wish for
you talk to your mother-in-law like this, dude. I mean,
you have no idea.
Well, it's a great show.
So disrespectful. I just like, can't even tell you.
I'll get to you next, Sam. I got something to talk to you about with you. So
yeah, he's got a bone to pick too.
You know, in honesty, I kind of wish that you would, because then it would make it easier for me to come and visit. And
you wish that I would get, but you came and visited.
I would come more. I would move in.
But why? But so you think that you think you're still in danger from getting COVID-19 from me?
I don't. Oh no, I do not.
Then what does a vaccine have to do with anything?
Why are you having the vaccine and him not having the vaccine? How does that affect you?
On most levels it doesn't really, because you know.
Well, tell us the levels where it does. You gotta give me specifics.
Okay, let me see how I can word this. I have, as Adam well knows, a foot in two worlds, and the foot that is blue-pilled is, how can I put this? Let me rephrase it. The foot that's red-pilled, I have to tread lightly. I have to be respectful. It's who I live with and people I'm surrounded with. So it's a difficult thing. I fully respect your right. And
so you're worried that if you come and visit me and I'm not vaccinated, your friends are going to be like, how could you do that? I don't want to be around you because you got COVID now because you went and visited your unvaccinated son and daughter.
No.
So what is it?
it's hard for me to speak frankly at the moment.
Okay. Does that mean you don't want to talk anymore about it?
Oh, there's somebody in the room.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
I will say, like, in just from my own experience, I will relate a little bit. You know, when I had a son that was injured by a vaccine, I did not want to believe it. I did not want to believe it. Like, and the mother was just like, this is obviously vaccines. And I had been trained my whole life. And even before we had kids and we had a delayed vaccine schedule. I read Dr. Fear's book and, you know, I had all this information. But there was I still had an ear, like Sean said, like to the mainstream media, right? Like, so I was getting both so much information. It took a long time for me to really reconcile. And a lot of it had to do with like the amount of information that kind of confirmed itself. And then it was how it was presented to me. And it was when I got into podcasts and I really, you know, heard people tell it in a way that just spoke to me. Right. It's kind of like recovery, really, you know, in recovery, like you can hear things 10 different ways, but it's one person says it and it's, you get it right. Like, so, yeah. So like I can relate, Deborah. At the end of the day, I mean, I'm with Adam and the rest of these guys, and like, but at the same time, it was a hard journey for me to get from point A to point B, and I had both feet in for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, I am a recent in this journey is not been that long for me. But,
well, I love you, Deborah, and I love what you're doing. I really do. And I think it's very
Sam, we all support you. I know you do. I know you do. And Adam, it's a slow process, but
you're coming along.
Grief as Adam gives me, I know, you know, deep down we love
Adam
each other.
Lives
and but all okay. Right. I'm sorry I kind of skated. I didn't really answer directly, but it's
but you're here. You're here. That's the great part, you know. Totally, this is a great example of how people can have different opinions and different views, but still maintain the same space in a civil way.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, Sam said a little while ago that he has friends that, you know, aren't of the same mind, and you know, we can still love each other. We can still enjoy each other. There's no reason.
You guys start eating people's faces.
Oh, well.
We gotta cut you loose.
Yeah. I'll start wearing a Hannibal mask or something. Okay. Instead of a COVID mask, I'll wear a Hannibal mask.
Hey, so Sam, on a recent episode of Conspiracy Social Club, the podcast you do with Brian, the conspiracy cuck Callan, you made the statement that Kamala Harris is hot. Can you explain yourself? And I fully understand. I'm 41. I'm 41 years.
How old are you, Adam?
I'm about to get into it. I'm 41. I get that your taste in women changes as you get older.
I'm a little older, okay?
Yeah,
I'm
but I, you know, I'm attracted to older women. Just
that's
I'm attracted
not bad,
to
okay?
women
I mean, I'm
with
just
children
gonna be honest
and
with you. And then compared to the other stuff, it's not bad. And I like ethnic chicks. I don't think she's ugly. I think like that's just like mistaking. There's a reason she's where she's at.
What about when
she
laughs
on bike and people want to ride her? I mean, like, right? I mean, like, she wouldn't be getting anywhere if nobody wanted to ride it. So
I don't know, man. She slept with Willie Brown when he was like 80 years old. You know,
dude. Whether, the value of that neighborhood is a different discussion. Okay, it looks. I've seen some nice houses in some bad areas, dude. It's just the way it is. Yeah, look at this. Camilla's bangable. That's why she got where she is.
Yeah, but the bearded woodman, I don't know if he's bangable. So, you know, it's different.
AOC, man, she is there for a reason. Oh, yeah. Because she's got fucking giant tits and she's attractive. Right? They want her to she's the new Nancy Pelosi, but she's already kneecapping herself. I don't think anyone's into it, but like, you wouldn't think, like, supposedly there's a sex tape of her out there. You wouldn't want to watch that? I know her politics is so awful, but it's like, you wouldn't at least want to check that out?
We played the clip of her talking on that Zionist podcast yesterday. Have you seen that footage yet where she talks for 2 minutes about the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians and says absolutely nothing?
Yeah. I love every time she
talks. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
She shoots herself in the foot every time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she uses the hands, you know, like she's trying to distract you with her hands and she's doing all this stuff.
She's talking about the how and the why of it, bro.
Yeah, the how and the why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's a Zionist. It's like I say, man, you know, a lot of people want to go off on Jew world order. You hear that all the time. I don't believe in it. Not all Jews are Zionists. Not all Zionists are Jews. It's just like, it's like this level of occult people that are just crazy. You know, I tell Jews all the time, they get angry. You're middle management, bro. You're middle management. Okay? You got bosses. Stop acting like you run shit. All right? And it's these occult people at the top. All these occult people walk around and you see symbolism all the time of what they're really into. But they can't talk about it openly because then we would go, well, maybe. I'm starting to wonder if anyone will go nuts anyways. But, yeah. You know, we would know who they really are. So it's easier to say you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, mm-hmm. or, you know, then it's easier. So that group ends up fighting for you. I'm like, I'm done with it, man. It's like, stop fighting over people you've never met before. That's my whole theory.
Yeah.
That's good. Good point.
They do it all the time. It's all identity politics, man. Yeah. It's all identity politics. And then identity politics always brings, you know, basically mental gymnastics, because eventually someone you love or someone you care about or someone you respect will break your rule that you've established for the people you don't like, and then we'll find out what kind of hypocrite you are.
I truly believe that the national scene is nothing more than theater at its best, yeah. And where we should be concentrating, it's meant to distract everybody and misdirect people. And where we should be concentrating our efforts in is in our local, you know, communities, in our neighborhoods, and where you actually spend most of your time, like trying to find somebody who's not going to, that you can get into politics at the local level and get them up to where they're not going to be corruptible at a certain point. You know, just like they, you know, what did Hitler used to say? The way that you control a population is through the kids. To the generation, and you know, you got to kind of do it the same way. I mean, it's, you know, these people play on 50 and 100 year timelines, which most of us barely can figure out a 1 year goal, you know, and stick to it. And so, you know, there's a lot of things out there that you know, they depend on, and we fall right into it, and we make it so easy for them to be able to do what they do.
100%, dude. Yeah. And it's just so, you know, going back to Twitter and getting kicked off Twitter. I mean, them running that trial, that cop, they're just trying to start a fight. I just think they realize that it's getting no traction. It's getting no traction. I don't see anybody getting riled up about it. I think them showing the trial shot themselves in the foot because they're finding out what really happened. And that's all theater, man. Both those guys worked at that club that was money laundering and bringing fake Chinese dollar bills into the States.
You don't think if that guy walks, shit's going to go down?
I'm telling you this. I think people are over it. Now, can you pay a bunch of people to
I'm working in downtown Portland right now, yeah. Like two blocks from the fucking courthouse where they do all that shit,
there,
man.
Dude. It's like a block right there. And look at those. Those are all white kids. It's,
yeah, well, you, I know that everybody in, all the everybody sons of in Oregon work is at white Nike, kids,
right? Like, you like mom and dad.
Yeah, I know, but I think I'm a little nervous about it because I'm working down there right now, like yeah, right by
I
it.
I would be too.
Yeah, dude. If it turns out, I just felt like people went through a year of it and they're like, and nothing changed. And you know that BLM lady just bought a fat house in a white neighborhood, and they're like, everything was a giant fucking lie.
Did you see that, Deborah?
More people I meet.
About, yeah.
What's this about?
Patrice Cullors, the lady who the Marxist black lesbian chick that runs BLM. She just bought like a $1.4 million estate in somewhere in Southern California, right, Sam?
Yeah. Oh, in basically like the Laurel Canyon area, I believe, which is like kind of the Hollywood Hills in a weird way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine doing that. Imagine if you own a house and someone who runs BLM moves in. How quick do you put your fucking, you're like, oh, you're just going to burn down this neighborhood too? Let's go move somewhere fucking else. It's unbelievable.
What is BLM run as a nonprofit or is it a LLC or that's a corporation, right?
I don't know. I just know it's a front.
Does it seem weird that that lady would have a $1.4 million house, Deborah?
Not even
try to hide it.
A little bit.
That might be the safest place you could be, though.
How much money did you donate to that house, Deborah? Good for you.
Oh, don't be caught doing that sign, Deborah.
Oh, you're right.
Don't screenshot
that's
that.
That's a dog whistle. She's dog whistling.
What is, yeah, it's all the. Yeah.
Don't worry, Deborah. Do whatever you want. Throw
do whatever you want, Deborah.
Dang signal. I don't care. You do you, boo. You do you.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
I just thought, it's all scripted, man. It's all lie. The siege on, they tried to make the siege on Washington, D.C., the Capitol building seemed like a big deal. It got no traction. And I don't know, man. I know people, there's a lot of people that are getting ready for Armageddon and the end of days. I have hope in humanity. I think we're ascending. I think as some people like Trump, some people don't. Some think he's Zionist. I don't know. But I think everyone's starting to agree Joe Biden is a flaming bag of dog shit on both sides.
I mean,
dude, he is truly the great unifier in that we all agree he sucks a fat one. Sorry, Deborah.
I mean, just the basic thing he said, like, you know, just nothing in the Constitution is, you know, set in stone. I mean, none of that's really actually, it doesn't actually really mean anything. You know, we don't actually need to really do what it says, honestly.
No, but all that is just to steal your loosh, man. It really is just to steal your loosh.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so you've been saying loosh, and that's a new word to me. Does that mean like your mojo?
In a weird way, Deborah. What's basically going on, Deborah, is that we are all part of the universe. We're all spiritual entities here in this realm to learn the meaning of life and meaning of the universe, which is love each other and stuff like that. And we're just basically batteries. It's almost like the Matrix. We're batteries. And there's a good chance the moon is a energy collector. That's a whole nother conversation. You ever play Pac-Man, Deborah? Have you ever played Pac-Man?
No.
I've never played Pac-Man.
Yeah, I know what it is, but I've never
played. Okay.
How about Miss Pac-Man?
Mouth closed. What does he look like, Deborah? He looks like the moon. And what does Pac-Man do? Chase down spirits, and he eats them up. And what happens to them? They are reborn. That's the story of the rebirth. It's basically the Tibetan Book of the Dead, okay? Dylan's from Cortland, New York, 607. So your loosh is your energy. And these archons, these low-frequency demons, feed off that. And their whole thing is pain and suffering. They want you to be constantly sad, constantly depressed, constantly angry, and they feed off. And what were you told since you were a very young girl, right? Don't go to bed angry. That's why, because that's when they feed off your energy. There's actually a time where cultures talk about there was no moon. There's a good chance that the moon is a alien satellite. Talk amongst yourself.
Okay. No.
You can just drop that and go, all right, there you go. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy
things.
Explanation
and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole thing is like everybody is so many people in the world's problems exist on the television and on their computer screen. And the real life, nothing's going bad. And what do the Buddhists say? There will be suffering, right? So people now are searching for suffering. They want credit for oppression they've never went through. They're getting offended on other people's behalf. They're feeling a suffering on other people's behalf. It's kind of like what the Unabomber and Malcolm X both said. The most dangerous animal in the world is a rich white liberal, because these people have everything. They have a couple things. They have enough money to never feel any real life, which is why they always say words hurt and violence is never the answer, because those are only the two only things that actually affect them, which is saying mean stuff, which when you live the pampered life is like the biggest felony in the world, and someone punching you in the face. Those are the two only things. They got enough money to clean up everything else. Nothing else will ever. What's up, Jackpot? That nothing else will ever affect them. And another thing that really sucks, and most of you, all these cultural icons, right, that have affected us, whether it's Buddha, Aleister Crowley, and we can go on forever, they're all rich kids. They're trust fund kids, right? They're trust fund kids that are allowed to live a life without actually having to live a life, meaning life, they never get affected by what goes on in the world, and they're allowed to live this very idealistic way of seeing the world. And because they're so connected, they're able to get their message out to everybody. And it's very dangerous. Okay. Everybody wants to be Buddha. Fuck Buddha. I'm a dad. Okay. That's the most Zen shit in the world. Being a dad. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know. I got a shower. Who cares about showering? I'm a dad, dude. I don't even know if my socks match. I don't give a fuck. Do my clothes. Nothing really matters anymore. So that's the Zen shit for me, man. You know? So I'm over these trust fund kids. And that's why political correctness is just these kids trying to find trying to feel something in their life by living vicariously through someone else's fucking pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I'm just yelling at you now like I'm your son-in-law.
If you have kids, that's the real thing, man, because that's what I mean, that's really what you have to think about more than anything else. And you know, like for myself, I'm not trying to give my kids the life that I wish I had. I'm trying to teach my daughter about the things that I wish I knew, you know, and teaching her how to, you know, get along in this world of smoke and mirrors and you know, what to look for, what to think about, you know, critical thinking, which has been stripped away from most of our kids in schools. You know, they have no idea how to critically think or work their way out of a corner, right? Without seizing up and freezing and being paralyzed and like, oh yeah, okay, do whatever you want to me. You know, that element is gone. And it needs to, you know, you got to figure out how to mitigate that. Yeah. That's just my opinion.
Everything is done purposefully, right? This extension of childhood was created for a reason, right? And then the extension of childhood into college. So we're talking people 21, 22 years old, still living like children. And then they're told they're safe places that exist nowhere else in the world, right? Why is that? So when they hit the real world, their mind and spirit fractures and they want to get in therapy. And I don't have a problem with therapy, but they want to get on pharmaceutical drugs to numb the pain. And that's done purposefully. This has been a long con game done for a very long time. Now, anybody who feels at all uncomfortable, right, at all, there's a mental disorder for it. Yeah. And now you need a drug for that mental disorder instead of realizing this realm is about pain and suffering and learning how to deal with it. Instead, people are trying to numb out to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got one just about having children for Sam or you, Sean. Just, you know, my daughter is going to be going to kindergarten in the fall for her first year.
Don't give your kids to the enemy.
So, well, either I'm figuring this out right now. I'm either moving out of Oregon, which is one option, or we're homeschooling, which is another option. But the problem with Oregon and homeschool is right now there's a bill going through that if it passes, they will be able to vaccinate your kids even if they go to homeschool. There it's mandatory vaccines. So, what? And that this is happening in this is
might I mean, have to move, dude.
Yeah, I mean that's I mean I'm obviously
close to California.
Yeah.
If they do passports, sure. I'm fucking gone, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love, I mean, I'm one of the few, but I love the sun here. I'm thinking about maybe relocating to San Diego because that's God's country. But sure. Man, if they do vaccine passports for a virus that has a 99.7% survival rate, get the fuck out of here, man. This has nothing to do with the virus. This has to do with getting us on social credit scores.
Yep. Yeah, certainly.
Chinese style.
100%, 100%. Totally agree with it. But in the immediate future, I have a very real decision. I'm just kind of seeing how other parents are dealing with this because I think, you know, there is an awakening and there are some positive things happening, but there's also some very real negatives that we have to deal with right in the short term, right? And this is one that's just coming up. And like, I don't know how old Sean, I think you have a daughter maybe, and how old they are. Are we putting them in school? Are we doing this masked and distancing? Like I'm very against this whole brainwashed thing they're doing. And I'm not going to put my kids in that no matter what. But you know, I'm even looking across the country, these states that are like, are freer. I'm looking at, and a lot of them still have, they still have the masks in the school and they still have the distancing. So it's probably homeschool wherever I'm going, honestly, but, just on a practical term, you know, what are you doing, Sean?
Well, I co-parent, so it's, sure. You know, I've got the situation where, you know, the mother of my daughter, who is almost four, makes most of the decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she's of the mind that, you know, well, you know, they got us, we got to do the, you know, this, and we've got to do what they say, because of otherwise we're not going to be able to put her in school. And she's not going to, you know, sacrifice from her job. I mean, I'm trying to pivot out of what I'm doing to make more time with my daughter. You know, it's kind of why I've, you know, done a lot of the things that I've been doing. And but I mean, that's tough too. You know, they kind of got you wherever. And if I could, I would totally go and try and find some place where I could go back to the old school way of doing things, where you homestead and you just go in a barter system, get off of paying money for everything, and just, you know, get into a system where everybody's bartering for goods, right? You know, I cut hair, I do other things, and, you know, let me trade with you for some, I'll give you a haircut for some vegetables and whatever. I think that way of life is the way that we should have been living all along.
Yeah, I've seen the Off the Grid, and it's like 100 guys and 3 chicks. So get ready for a sausage fest.
You gotta bring sand to the beach with you, man.
Good luck, because women love the grid. Like, fuck.
Yeah, not pedicures, mine's
right,
all
TikTok,
about mine.
White Claw. That you can't find any of that Off the Grid.
Yeah, you found the wrong one. Then I got one that'll come with me to do that. I'm not going off the grid, but I'm going to land.
That's the weird thing. It's like you want to live in this, because there's things I like about living in the big. Yeah, totally. I love the energy. I love all that. But it's like, I don't want to play that game.
Yeah.
On the education front, we had Mackenzie on our podcast a few months back, and she was doing something at the time, homeschooling a small group of kids. And I think that sounds like a really...
Yeah, Ed, aren't there people in your Freedom Cell that have kids that don't want to send them to school, that you guys could all team up together and do something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's come up a little bit. There's just really not been any action around it. And maybe I'm just feeling this impending doom. And, you know, I also have a situation somewhat like Sean's, where I'm co-parenting. Thank God she's on the same page as me as far as what's going on. But at the same time, we're also... As much as there are so many negative things about the school system, there's also, you know, trusting your kids with people you don't know that well is just as scary, right? So at least there's the regulation kind of gives you a little bit of protection, right? So I see two sides.
I went to Catholic school, so I don't really agree with that sentiment at all.
Woo.
Well, we also dabble into, you know, what's all going on with all the, you know, child trafficking and all that stuff. So there's just a lot of fear any way you go. But, you know, the system right now is unacceptable. Right. So I agree that it's probably more
comfortable with your giving your kids to people in a school that you don't know than giving your kids to somebody with like 10 other kids to like school in a pod together.
Yeah. You know, I think, like I said, I think there's positives and negatives to each. And I would say that, like, cause the pod thing, you know, I mean, we know that, like, you know, these child molesters and stuff are also drawn into places where there's children. Right. So there's, no matter where you go, there is some fear and you know, I mean, I would say, and you probably know as well, that, you know, Freedom Cells has been, I've met some amazing people, and I've met some people that are kind of weird to me. Same time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but you could choose.
That's called life, brother.
You can choose who you send your kids to, but if you send your kids to public school, it's just where they kind of end up, right?
Certainly. Yeah, you know, I bet at the same time, there is like that. There is, I mean, I went to public school, and I think that there is like that, the social piece, there's a good piece to it, right? Like, I do think it's good for kids to grow up around lots of other kids and
learn more from the other kids than they
But you can have all that community while homeschooling as well. It's not like how it was in the 80s, where it was just weird Christian kids that got homeschooled. It's not like that anymore.
Sure. And I will agree. We just had Mackenzie, and that episode hasn't gone up as well. And she gave me a whole bunch of other options. I'm just really concerned to talking to other parents about that. I feel like that's maybe my biggest fear in front of me. You know, the thing I'm dealing with right now.
It's a big deal. But, you're wise to be fearful.
Yeah. And we got a comment here from Dylan talking about recent pod with Tim Dillon and Whitney Webb. We're all Whitney Webb fans, I'm pretty sure. Oh, yeah. And like listening to what she has to say. So talking about behind the scenes with the passport and the foundations behind them. So that's, you know, check that out if you want to hear more about that. The Bearded Woodman, he said, I'm a dad with three daughters and they all live with their mom. It's hard to take a real stand. Yeah. That's real. That's honest, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jenna 2030, they want to make life unbearable here, so we all move away from the coastlines.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that's 100% done, at least in California. I think they want to thin out California really badly. I think they want California to be like Malibu, and I don't know if you've ever been to Malibu, but it's basically it's California, but with no traffic, and it's nothing but rich people. And the poor people come in to do the work and then they leave. No, they can't live in Malibu. And I think they would love for San Diego all the way up to San Francisco to be basically Malibu. That's why we got these crazy fires that make no sense.
Yep, totally.
Same here.
Yep. And all that stuff going on, these crazy taxes. Now, I hate taxes. I don't want any taxes. If you didn't have any taxes in California, the population would probably be 7 billion. So it's like almost a keep people out tax. But I do think they want to get rid of everybody. I think they want everybody to move out, not just for make it easier on traffic. I think they know they want all these Democrats to turn all these other states blue.
Yep, absolutely.
To flip Texas, to flip Florida, to flip Tennessee, flip all these states so that they vote blue. Because every presidential election, which is we all know is bullshit anyways, but the Democratic candidate always starts up two states up every time. New York, California, every time. I do think Trump won California and they lied about it. And I know that elections are fraud. When I look back on way back, you're telling me before they had electronic voting that a bunch of senior citizens counted 70 million votes in 5 hours. Is that what you're telling me? You're telling me that's how they used to do elections, senior citizens counting votes, and they got it all done by the 5 p.m. news? It's always been bullshit. But now the problem is, the scary part is, the illusion is gone. And sometimes the illusion is the only thing keeping them from just going straight bizarro crazy on us, right? The illusion that we have choice, the illusion of democracy. Now that that's slowly going away, what's stopping them? I have a couple theories on that. What's stopping them from going crazy? And what I think really is going on, dude, is that we have all the power. We have all the power. We have all the dogs. Okay.
We let the dogs out.
Okay. Ooh, let the dogs out.
Hey!
My dogs. Rest in peace, DMX. But we have all the power. Oh. If they had all the power and all the weaponry that they talk about, why wouldn't they just roll it out and whoop our asses? I think so much of this is just BS to scare us in the thinking. Leroy. Granted, I just talked about Admiral Byrd, so I could be a hypocrite right here, but I think a lot of it is BS, dude, that we're the real power.
Yeah.
And they know that, so they have to false flag us into everything.
Yep.
100% agree.
All right, so Dylan's just learned about the Council of Inclusive Capitalism headed by the Pope. I have no idea what that is.
I think they talked about that in the
Whitney Webb talks episode. About it. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you guys aren't listening to Tim Dillon out there, what are you even doing? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Or Whitney Webb. Yeah.
All right. So I know that we all, I mean, at least three of you guys got things to go to and go shows that you're going to go hit up. So we figured an hour would be about good. We're at 58 minutes. So why don't we go ahead and think of the movie Monsters, Inc. They need our fear and harvest it. Yep. True.
Totally.
So whoever wants to start, go ahead and plug whatever it is you want to plug with your shows and where people can find you, and we'll go from there and we'll head out of here.
You go, Deborah.
No, you go, Adam.
All right. Hey, guys, we'd love it if you came and found our podcast. Deborah gets red-pilled on all the podcatcher things. And you can email us at deborahgetsredpilled@protonmail.com. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. And if you don't have anything to do tonight, go to Lindsay from Rogueway's YouTube. We're going live with her at 6 p.m.
Nice. Awesome, dude. Nice.
Right on. Great.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Oh, well, I guess I'll go real quick. So we're Scott and Ed from TrueZilla. Megan's our third. She couldn't make it tonight. But we're over at rockfin.com/TrueZilla. Rockfin's been an awesome little platform that's been, been really grateful for because YouTube's coming after us. We got two strikes last week. So we're ready to roll. So we're on patreon.com/TrueZilla. And guys, go check out the t-shirt shop, truezilla.org/shirts. Got some good stuff up there.
And we're also on all the podcatchers.
All the podcatchers as well, yes.
Are you guys on Rockfin still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're growing hard on Rockfin. Yep.
Definitely.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm Sam Triple. You can listen to my 3,000 podcasts I have. Tinfoil Hat, Union of the Unwanted, Cash Daddies, Punch Drunk. They're all available. If you go to samtriple.com, you can find all my stuff there, along with tickets to live shows. I'm going to be in Phoenix, Arizona in 2 weeks at the House of Comedy. I think that's the 22nd, 23rd, 24th. And then the following weekend, I'm in Indianapolis at Helium's all the way to May 1st. Don't hurt the dogs, man. May 1st. go check that. And I'm on Rockfin as well, ROKFIN.com, with my spiritual podcast called Zero. Please check it out.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
When you coming to Portland next, Sam?
Well, you know what? I am putting together shows with Eddie Bravo and another show with Brian Callen. So we're going to see where they go. And, I love Portland. I think it's great. I went there during when the riots were first going over. Yep.
I was there.
Yeah. So I'll go there again and we'll check it out. And we'll, I love gigging, dog.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, and all of the places that most of the places that were just said will be available in the show notes or the description of this broadcast, the Rockfin and all that other stuff for Sam and TruthZilla. Dude, everything is pretty awesome. I love the way that we've come together and kind of support each other through retweeting and all this other stuff. And hopefully one of these days we'll be able to all meet up at one place in real time and, be able to hang out and talk about the things we like to talk about.
I am going to get ready. I think I'm going to do a 500th episode of Tinfoil Hat. I'm thinking about doing it in Vegas. So maybe everybody, we can all meet up and make it a weekend. And maybe 1 week everybody does their podcast. And the next day we do Tinfoil Hat. I'm just kind of working it out right now. But
Las Vegas Conspiracy Con, dude.
Yeah. I've been thinking about doing that for a while, man. And just got to find the right venue, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, that sounds cool, man. I'm actually flying down to Florida to be on a couple of shows here at the end of the month, Concrete Podcast and a couple of other ones too. So it's, the world of podcasting has taken off, man, and it's a great place to be.
Sure.
Well, hey, I'll say this finally, that podcasting have changed the game. Stand-up comedy, everyone's like, comedy's dying. It's not, dude. It's about to take a quantum leap into awesome. And it was clipped before by the suits, but now the suits are dead. We don't need any of them. They got to beg to work with us. We don't ever got to work with them. And now it's about to get real, real, real good. So I hope you guys can appreciate it, what you guys are doing, being part of this, doing a Union of the Unwanted. The future's bright. They can't censor all of us.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And
make your own website. Decentralize the best you can,
Definitely.
Man.
Yep.
I just think that was samtriple.com. I took Tinfoil Hat off YouTube. I'm not going to give them the pleasure of kicking it off. I left. I don't need to be told to leave. I'll find the door myself.
There you go. I couldn't have said it better, man. Those are real true words to live by, Sam. And I appreciate you saying it.
I love you all. I'm glad I could do your shows. Thank you so much,
Sam. I've been there since episode one, Sam. You're the best, dude. I love you.
Thank you. I love all you guys.
Love you, man.
That's a great. Hey, that's great to end it on. And I'm gonna go ahead and do the outro out here. And you know, stay tuned for more to come.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bye, Deborah.
Appreciate it.
Bye, guys. Really,
Deborah, it was an honor to meet the legend. It's great.
Back at you, Sam.
To the legend. It was an honor. Don't let Adam talk to you that way.
She's gonna eat your face, Sam.
Okay. Oh, she's coming to eat your face.
You gotta get rid of the beard first. You know.
Come on, you're like a rugged man.
I like the beard.
Manscape that shit.
Manscape.
Bye, guys. All right, guys.
Bye.
See you.
Later. You've been listening to the Nowhere to Go But Up podcast. Sean is a single dad, a union blue-collar guy, and he spent time in federal and state prison for drug trafficking and fraud. When he was released from prison in 2006, all he had was the clothes on his back, a bag of mail, and some paperwork. Since then, he's turned his life around and shares the struggles and successes on this podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we hope you were moved to connect to the show. Book a guest spot. For merch, Patreon, PayPal, and social media links, go to linktr.ee/nowheretogobutup.
On Instagram at nowheretogobutupnow. On Twitter at butupnow. On the YouTube channel at nowheretogobutuppodcast.
See you next time.